Hello and welcome. You've tuned into Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host, and our podcast is all about personal success and networking. We'll discuss small business tips, health and wellness issues, personal safety tips, financial gain, and a variety of other topics from professionals in the field. And once in a while, we'll throw in our area of expertise, firearm safety and active shooter response for businesses, churches, and schools. So sit back, relax, listen and learn. Active Listening with T4 Tactics. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Active Listening. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host at T4 Tactics, and we've got Mayor Stephanie Reed from Lynchburg, Virginia, not Lynchburg, Tennessee. People always tell me, where do you live, Lynchburg? Oh, wow, that's where they make Jack Daniels. No, it's Lynchburg, Tennessee. We have great things here in Lynchburg, Virginia. So welcome.
Thank you.
You've been mayor for how long?
2 months.
2 months. Wow. Mm-hmm. Seems like longer than that.
It's been a long yeah. 2 months.
Yeah. It's been, that's probably why it seems longer. I look at Facebook stuff and I'm like, that's a long 2 months. Tell us your background. Married?
Okay, married, yes.
Been wonderful
married
to my husband. I like him. Mm-hmm. Kids, I've met them.
Four sons,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so military, your husband was military, you traveled a lot.
Mm-hmm. So my husband was in the Air Force for 25 years.
Yeah.
And we have four sons, ages 16 to 23. We lived all over the world. Outside of the country, we were in Okinawa, mm-hmm. Japan. We were in Singapore. We were in Germany. And then stateside, we've been in Virginia a lot. We were up in the Pentagon, Langley Air Force Base, Andrews Air Force Base. Then we were in Montgomery, Alabama. We were at MacDill Air Force Base down in Florida. We've been, where else were we? Primarily those main places.
What foreign country did you like the most, and which one did you not like the most?
We actually loved them all, but for different reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Okinawa, you know, the Okinawans are just a very gentle, you know, very island.
Right.
Kind of mild, mannered people. And then Singapore is like the New York City of Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
So very cosmopolitan. And
food.
Oh my gosh.
I love Asian shopping. Food. Mm-hmm. I could eat it. If it wasn't for the sodium and MSG, and that, you know, I could eat Chinese or Japanese food every single day.
Oh my gosh.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. So we definitely got our sushi on in Okinawa.
Yes. Wow.
In Singapore, we did. It's very multicultural there. So we, you know, Indonesian and Malaysian food, Indian food was amazing.
And that's spicy, right?
Spicy.
Yeah.
And then Germany was amazing because we got to travel all over, obviously Germany, but all over Europe.
Right.
So that was great. And we were there for 4 years. So
yeah, I've been to Germany in high school. I went to Germany, Paris, Switzerland, mm-hmm. Germany, Belgium, mm-hmm. Brussels. And that was really cool. I was amazed at how much English is over there.
Yes.
Which on the flip side, I just got back from New Jersey and I was surprised at how many businesses have Chinese lettering on the businesses, and under it is not American wording. It's just a lot of businesses. This was Rahway, New Jersey area.
Okay.
Went up there to do some active shooter training, and I was surprised at how much just flat out Chinese lettering there is everywhere.
Interesting.
And no English to back it up. You know, usually you'll see both.
Yeah.
But when I went to Europe, I was surprised. I felt comfortable because there was a lot of English being spoken,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of English lettering.
Well, in Europe now, I mean, they definitely speak teach English as a second language, like starting in kindergarten.
Yeah, wow.
So most of the kids all speak English, and then even in Singapore as well. So we seem so. You know, we're just a single language in America,
right.
Unless you choose in the, you know, middle school to start speaking a second language.
Right.
But they actually all speak at least two languages.
Yeah, yeah.
There, so
I know I learned two languages. I'm born and raised in Florida, mm-hmm. 42 years. We moved up here and I had to learn a little bit of slang.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbor came over and was helping. We got some acreage. And my neighbor came over and said, I found your property line and it runs right cheer, right over chaw. And I was like, my wife is like, what is chaw?
So you knew country.
We were country
now.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's your second language is country.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we went from right cheer to over chomp. And, but amazing. We love this area. We've been up here since 07. I know mm-hmm. you love it too.
We do. Mm-hmm.
And the people are just amazing here.
Yes.
The seasons are great, although mm-hmm. this wind and cold isn't great. But We really like this area. This is the place to be.
We do. My husband and I both grew up mainly in Virginia. And so when we were looking where to retire, we just love the location of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we love the seasons.
The seasons. That's what I like. Because mm-hmm. being born and raised in Florida, it's one season and it's hot.
You might
get a couple of months or a couple of weeks in January, February that are cool. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I mean, it literally sucks the life out of you, the humidity.
It does.
You go outside in the summertime and it's just, good gracious.
Yeah, it is.
You're cutting your grass at 6:30 in the morning mm-hmm. or 9 at night just because you know, it's just bad. Yeah.
Yes.
So you moved up here mm-hmm. and then you originally ran for council, right?
Ran for council. Yeah. I started campaigning in April of 22.
Right.
And then won the election in November.
Yeah.
And then was sworn in January 3rd of this year. And then on the 4th became mayor.
Boom. Yeah. Yes. Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes.
Exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you didn't see that coming.
How Lynchburg works is that we're not an elected mayor. It's
right.
just you're appointed or kind of voted on between your fellow council members.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. See, Florida, where I'm from, it's elected. When mm-hmm. I saw on social media in the news you were mayor, and I'm like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And then I found out it's a different process than what
right.
Florida
so the
has.
Mayor in our situation is just, you know, it's just the figure. Head for you're the presiding officer of the council, so
right.
and so in my case I just help run the meetings. I have the gavel, but
right.
I don't have a bigger vote than anybody else on
right.
council. And then I just get the privilege of getting to be at events more so than other people. I get invited to be at more events, I think, and maybe more of a figurehead for the city in that perspective,
right.
from that perspective. But again, no more, I don't have any more authority or anything
right.
like that. Yeah.
So is that a Commonwealth thing or is that a Lynchburg thing? Because
it's a Lynchburg thing because okay. like in Richmond, they have an elected
okay.
Okay.
mayor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in our case in Lynchburg, our city manager is like the CEO of the city.
Okay.
So he has kind of the authority to run the city, and we but he works for council, so uh-huh. we hire and have the hiring and firing authority over him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Does I meant to ask you this weeks ago. Does Florida has the Sunshine Law that restricts two council members from speaking one-on-one. Mm-hmm. There has to be three or more.
Okay.
And I may be off on those numbers. Does Lynchburg have something like that? So it's actually illegal for two council members to go out to lunch.
Okay, so ours is two of us can be together.
Yeah, okay.
Can't be more than two.
Oh, it can't be more
cannot
than
be
two.
For us. We cannot be.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's considered an unofficial meeting and we have to make a public announcement.
Got
people
it.
Have to be invited. So if three of us were at Chili's, then we'd have to let everybody know.
Oh.
And technically, the public would have to could show up and join us for lunch.
Belly up to the bar,
yes.
everybody.
Yes.
The council meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So what's hot in Lynchburg right now? What do you want to talk about? What information do you want to get out there?
So last night we had a meeting. We meet the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month.
Uh-huh.
And we just got our fiscal year 24 budget presented
yeah.
to us last night. So that's the big news that we're about to jump into, just the discussion process mm-hmm. of what that's going to look like. So that is a big deal because we just in this past November is the first time that we had local elections in November. It's always been in May.
Mm-hmm.
So for the learning curve for new council members like myself, we also had two other council members that are also new, so first-time council members, that to jump into being a new member on council as of January and then have a brand new budget to jump into and understand is quite a task.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
To understanding how to look at that
yeah.
and allocate money for an entire city.
All
is a
the
lot
different
of work.
Departments
yes.
and programs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Schools. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where seven people have to come together and try to agree
right.
with your city manager on how to direct that money, how to look at spending and taxes and everything. So that's going to be a big task. So
yeah.
that'll probably take us about 3 months to do.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How's the budget look so far? My heart is with police and fire
mm-hmm.
because I believe in, if we can have safe communities, we talked about this off air before
mm-hmm.
we started, but
mm-hmm.
when we can have safe communities, people move into our community
mm-hmm.
and people stay and it brings in business. But, through my police career, I saw a lot of times that we would ask for some very vital equipment for police and fire and it was rejected, but yet Parks and Recreation is putting in a whole new beautiful medium with expensive plants and flowers. We couldn't understand that. Mm-hmm. So my heart is with, so how is it with our police and fire? Are we moving, getting their budgets better, or how's that looking?
Right. So I think, you know, being from a military family background,
yeah.
You know, my perspective of our local law enforcement community is no different than my perspective of our military community. If, mm-hmm. you know, I would say if our country is not safe and secure,
right.
then nothing else matters.
Which it's not.
Right? So, yes, we, that's a whole other conversation, but
wow,
true. If we don't feel secure,
yeah.
then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And we are in trouble.
We are very,
because
yeah.
our military community has been cut, and we're not secure in that way. So
they become woke. I'll say that. You don't have to say it. They
we have, woke. You know, we have vulnerabilities because
our
military community does not have the support it needs. Mm-hmm. So same goes to the local community.
Yeah.
So when I was campaigning, I met with our chief of police. I met with our chief,
mm-hmm.
and I met with our sheriff, and found that just like in our military community, their needs had been neglected for years past. So when you have an increase of crime in a community, or you have an issue with recruiting and retention, and you see that it's because pay has been an issue,
uh-huh.
if you see that crime is on the rise because you just don't have the staff that you need to cover
right.
the ground,
right.
and then you are one person deep in essential positions that are inside, mm-hmm. in-house positions, where now you have cases that are backlogged and detectives that are backlogged or whatever, and things are just not being done to the level that need to be done, you're going to have increases in problems.
Yeah.
And you don't have our 911, our emergency call center was 13 positions short. We've had
wow.
23 or 24 positions short in our fire department. We've had 25 positions short in our police department. So we've had extreme vulnerabilities in all of those areas.
And that puts those firefighters and police officers at risk.
Correct.
When they don't have the proper support, when
That's
firefighters
right.
go into a burning building, mm-hmm. you need to have that support outside and behind you and beside you.
Absolutely.
Same with police.
Correct. So you have in our police community, at least in the state of Virginia, there's a huge... So not only do you... So in our case, you're short on officers. So that is a huge concern when you have the number that you need to have on a full shift.
Right.
Okay. Now in our state, because we have a requirement at the state level for... ECOs and TDOs, which are temporary
detain orders. Yeah. And this needs to be fixed, what were you
right.
going to say?
And then the ECOs, which are emergency, what's the ECO stand for?
We call them Baker Act in Florida. So
right,
emergency,
right, right.
Yeah, it, you're detaining people temporarily.
Typically for mental health calls.
Right, yeah.
So in Virginia right now, which does need to be changed.
Severely broken.
Right, is when a mental health call comes through the 911 system.
Mm-hmm.
The protocol right now is that police officers have to respond to the call,
mm-hmm.
which I understand
yeah.
for the purpose of making sure it's a secure and safe scene.
Right, no suicide,
right. no danger to
right.
anybody else around them.
Yeah.
And then they have, then they take the mental health patient to the hospital.
Right.
And then they're required to stay
Bad.
With that patient until the hospital either releases them, holds them for 72 hours, or transfers them to a long-term facility.
Right. And sometimes this is days.
Can be days.
And the police officers, it's just playing tiddlywinks
right.
in the lobby of the hospital.
Right. Now it's pulled off shift.
Right.
If there is a shift change, then that the replacement officer then comes and relieves that officer and stays in the hospital.
Right.
So if you have, in our case, let's say 13 officers on shift, and you have four of those calls happen,
uh-huh.
do the math. How many are left now
right.
to cover?
And then you get a bad accident, a domestic violence. It takes two officers and a robbery.
Shooting,
you're done.
Whatever.
You're done.
Right. And you have a city, in our case, of 82,000 people. That mm-hmm. is a huge public safety risk.
Yeah.
Huge. And again, putting those who are hired to keep us safe in an unsafe situation themselves.
Right. Right.
And now they're going, wait a second, I don't make enough money to do this and put my family
exactly.
at risk. And so then they quit. And then we have recruiting and retention problems, which is happening nationwide,
yeah.
right? Okay, so that's a huge problem. And then you have the fire department that now works these four-day stretches. We had 130,000 hours of overtime
oh
in our fire
goodness.
Department last year. And for people who are listening that need to understand, when you have these very traumatic jobs
right.
where the brain is not made to see what our police, fire, rescue people see.
Yeah.
Day in and day out. And you have these 4-day stretches that are needed not only for rest, but for recovery.
And family.
And for their family.
Right.
For the brain to try to recover from what it sees. It is very psychologically necessary.
Right.
And then they come in and they are asked to do overtime mm-hmm. because they don't have the commanding, you know, the coverage. Mm-hmm. It becomes an additional danger to that firefighter, but also to the public.
And some people may be listening, they may be selfish. Well, that's the job they chose. But if you have an overworked, mentally stressed, physically stressed firefighter show up to your house when you're having a heart attack or you've had a serious accident, they're going to cut you out of the car, you want that male or female to be fresh.
That's right.
And well-rested.
Right. And you don't want them taking overtime hours because they aren't getting paid enough.
Exactly.
So these are things that we need to address. So I made a promise during my campaign that I would advocate aggressively for these things.
Right.
So to answer your original question, when our budget was presented last night, I was thrilled to see that we had a very strong public safety component listed. So a ton of needs met from our police department, a ton of needs met in our fire department, a ton of needs met in our emergency call center, mm-hmm. some needs met in our sheriff's department, in our Commonwealth's attorney office, which delighted me. And I was so happy to see that. And that's something that I'm thrilled about. And it's going to really help our city out. And so that's great. Some of the other things that we will be working through are tax rates that we're going to be discussing, some needs at our schools, how we're going to accommodate. Teacher pay is always something people are concerned about. We want to make sure that we're competitive enough to recruit good teachers.
Absolutely.
Retain good teachers.
Yes.
Make sure that the money is going into the classroom so that we can have meet the needs of our kids.
Yeah.
And that we're getting solid curriculums. That's really important. We have older buildings in Lynchburg, so we need to make sure that we're setting aside money to maintain those buildings. Mm-hmm. And so that's something we're going to be looking at. You know, and then just running the city. You know, there's all kinds of things to the city. Everybody that you talk to in the city has a different area they want the money to, you know, you talked about Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
We have a lot of outdoorsy people here who
want
us to put money in.
And Parks and Rec is very important. It's not that it's not important.
Right.
It's very, very important. Mm-hmm. But if people don't feel, my passion is police and fire. Mm-hmm. If they don't feel like they're safe in the city, they're going to move out.
That's right.
And you can move out to a lower tax base, which is the county. I live in the county, mm-hmm. but I don't have the best law enforcement response because it's county, it's mm-hmm. rural. Mm-hmm. I have volunteer firefighters. Mm-hmm. I take my trash to the dumpster. I don't have trash, but so there are perks that you're going to have to give up.
Right.
You pay for what you get. So taxes, people want to hold on to their money. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm not a politician. I haven't been in politics, but I do understand from being a cop for so many years that people want to be safe, mm-hmm. and that's what's going to keep them there. If I can't walk down to the local market where I live in the city because I don't feel safe, I'm going to move out.
Right. You know? Well, and that's the thing is that so we want to be fiscally responsible with taxpayer dollars, and I definitely ran on that about making sure that we're investing taxpayer dollars wisely.
Right.
And so when we're looking at like real estate tax rates, which is a big conversation right now, uh-huh. and people keep bringing up, well, the county taxes are half of what we pay here in the city.
You're getting half the service.
You're getting half the service. So what people need to understand is in our city of Lynchburg, we have a police department. We have a fire department that are paid fire department firefighters.
Going to training regularly.
Correct.
They're at the station.
Correct.
Same with police.
Right.
I don't have that where I live.
Right. And then we have services like you said. You know, we have trash. We have a trash service.
Better internet.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
So we pay for those services that the counties do not. They do not have a police department.
Right.
They have mostly volunteer mm-hmm. fire department,
right.
and then you pay private trash companies and you have a dump that you go take to. If we took all of those services out of the city budget, we could absolutely save a ton of our
absolutely.
Real estate tax. So you have to, you know, you have to compare the two and go, okay, well, yeah, if we did away with those services, then we could drastically cut our real estate tax. But we can't, we don't want to. I mean, we need those services in our city. So it's a matter of trying to balance all that, understanding mm-hmm. that the taxpayer dollars are necessary to fund those very crucial pieces of what our city has to offer.
Yeah.
And trying to make everybody happy and balancing those things out so that we, you know, we want to be fiscally conservative, but we also want to make sure that we have a safe city. Because what I was telling people when I was campaigning is, if we don't have a safe city, nothing else really matters.
It's an avalanche.
It's and safety is a nonpartisan issue. Mm-hmm. When I campaigned all over our city. I campaigned at doors that were red and blue and purple.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one issue that everybody agreed on, was they all wanted to feel safe.
Sure.
And so that to me, that which is why that became my number one issue that I campaigned on, was like, we all agree we want safety. And so I feel like, you know, I think I used an argument with you earlier, was we can talk about real estate tax, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
But if a 911 operator isn't there to answer your call in a life or death situation, or a police officer isn't there to come to your house in a life or death situation, mm-hmm. and someone that you love now passes away,
right,
or you have a horrifying experience in your life because someone couldn't come to your house, whether it was police, fire, or rescue, are you going to be bragging to someone about your real estate tax bill being low,
right,
when you've lived through that trauma?
You're right.
You're not.
Right. And you'll have people bark at what we're talking about, because humans don't, and I see this in the active shooter people that I interview, the victims and families. They don't think anything bad's going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But when bad things happen to good people, but the time you call 911 and you need that 911 operator to answer, not ring at a vacant phone, and you need police or fire or medical to show up, it's the most important thing in the world.
That's right.
It is.
So you, I'm trying to balance all the needs and priorities of the whole city, because I'm an at-large representative, which means I ran for the whole city.
Yeah.
There are some representatives on council that only represent certain segments of the city.
Uh-huh.
So I really am trying to take the perspective of what's important throughout the city to all the people that I represent, because they're all going to prioritize differently what's important to them. Parks and Rec, social services, taxes, public safety, schools, education, all those things. And so we really have to kind of go, how do I look at this budget now and say, how can I consider all those things and look at a limited amount of money that we have to deal with and, you know, prioritize what is truly important and spend it well and still be responsible and wise.
And keep the city thriving.
And keep it
through
thriving.
The economy.
That is right.
You start having a lot of crime and businesses are going to move out because people aren't coming to certain areas because they're afraid.
And we're dealing with inflation. I was talking to someone earlier today. $100 today, let's just use this example. If you're on the cash budget spending where, you know, maybe you have an envelope system in your house where mm-hmm. you're given, if you're the grocery buyer in your home,
right,
and you get your envelope of cash, a year ago today, that $100 cash for your week bought you a certain amount of groceries that today it will not buy you.
It won't get you to the grocery store.
It will not. So
yeah,
if I'm going into Kroger today with that same $100 cash, I'm making decisions. I'm saying, okay, here are my options. I'm either buying less groceries than I did a year ago today mm-hmm. with that same $100
mm-hmm.
or I'm buying it differently.
You're not going to eat healthy. On a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, you could eat healthy on $100.
Right.
But now you're going to be picking SpaghettiOs and peanut butter
ramen
and jelly.
Or whatever. Right,
ramen.
Right.
That's right. Won't be in the produce and meat section.
I'm not getting arugula and I'm not buying steak.
That's right.
And so that's what the taxpayers in our city also have to consider.
Now I'm hungry.
That because of inflation, as we cut taxes, we have to consider, and again, this is not a right or a left issue. This is just logical thinking. Because of inflation, the dollar is not stretching.
Right.
So we have to make sure that as we cut the tax rate, we don't cut it to a point that then we have to start cutting these crucial things that we've all agreed are important, like public safety and like schools, the crucial part of the schools.
Uh-huh.
And then we can't deliver there.
Right.
Because the dollar, you know, because what our city manager is saying, I still have to buy these certain things for the city. And what I could buy it for a year ago, I can't buy it for today.
No way.
So that's just a fact.
And we've got to retain, you know, we talk about crime and and officers and firefighters, but we've got to retain talent mm-hmm. because a brand new fire department, fresh out of the, a brand new firefighter, fresh out of the academy, because we've lost the seasoned guy to go or girl to go somewhere else, mm-hmm. the brand new guy is just not going to have the knowledge. That's Same with police.
That's right.
We've got to keep the retention because we need that experience out there to help reduce crime. That's Does right. the budget have any, can you talk about any bells or whistles or toys that are coming towards the police department or fire department with any perks that may be headed their way, or is it too early to talk about that, that what's in the budget?
Did I talk about the take-home cars?
No, we haven't said that. Excellent.
So, yes, good. So in That's the police retaining. Department, yes. They are they have a take-home car initiative that they're launching.
Perfect.
So, which is known to be a deterrent
yeah.
for when you see a police car in front of a home in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are like, oh, a cop lives there. Maybe we shouldn't
right.
commit this crime.
Right.
So it's a great visual deterrent for criminals.
Yeah.
And it's also just an incentive for our police officers, too, because it cuts down on their expense of driving right. to and from.
Right.
So that's
quicker response, too.
Right.
In a mass casualty event or tornado or whatever, mm-hmm. that officer doesn't have to go to the station, look for car keys. They go right
that's
to
right.
the scene.
That's right.
That's the take-home policy is a proven plus.
Yes.
For officers and citizens.
Right. So we're launching that.
Good.
So we'll start with 10 cars. I'm really excited about that. That's something that our police chief had mentioned to me a year ago, and we were able to build that into this.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
And one more thing with that is the cars will last longer mm-hmm. because our department, in the beginning, we shared cars. Well, I can tear up a police car with the brakes. I can jump curbs. You can do all this stupid stuff as an officer. Nobody's going to find out it's me because the next guy's going to have it. And the car runs 24/7. It's never shut off, mm-hmm. you know, because it's in a shift. So the longevity of these vehicles will last a lot longer because they're assigned to somebody. If there's a scratch on that vehicle or the brakes are run down too bad, you're not driving it right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's accountability. The cars last longer, which means it's less vehicles that you buy because we're going to get more years out of that.
Right.
And that's budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So we're excited about that. And those are the things we have to be more creative about, because the reality is that these jobs that are shift oriented and high stress,
right.
it's harder and harder to recruit those jobs, because it used to be when you and I were younger, specifically little boys. Now,
right.
now we're seeing a higher rate of young ladies wanting to do, you know, fire and
right.
police and
yeah.
military. But they all wanted to be, you know, policemen, everybody. Firefighters. They wanted to be in the military.
Right.
And we're just not seeing this generation of,
yeah.
of youth wanting, having that interest. So we're having to be more creative in ways to attract
right.
Young men and women into the field. And so you're having to be competitive with pay and being creative with other ways to recruit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really think outside the box on what we can do to not only bring them into the field, but also once they're in, how do we keep them from not leaving?
Right.
So these are just things we're just thinking about, talking through, and just trying to be, like I said, creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's good. I know it's not easy. We fought every single year, or, you know, when the budget would come around, it's just, mm-hmm. You're pulling your hair out.
Mm-hmm.
The police administrators, fire administrators, city council, mayor, mm-hmm. city manager.
Yeah.
It is so tough. And this was, I was a cop back with the economy. We had, you know, the economy was good.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you know, we were handed overtime all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's, you're pinching pennies. And
yeah.
I can't imagine how tough it is now. To try to, you can't make everybody happy, but yet you try.
No, and it doesn't help that because of the narrative towards law enforcement over the last 2 years
right.
has shifted, you're also combating that.
Yeah.
So even in some cases where you've seen an increase in pay, it still hasn't done the trick.
Yeah.
So it's so important that cities are rallying around their law enforcement
mm-hmm.
officials, letting them know that they have their backs.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to be very vocal about that, that, you know, you have our backs, I have your back.
Right.
I will stand alongside you and let you know that, you know, when you're doing a good job, we have your back. We thank you for what you do. You know, we understand that in any profession, there can be bad apples, and
right.
we don't support any bad apples.
Right, right.
And we when there's a bad apple, they'll be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to make sure that you don't hold an entire group in any scenario
right.
At fault for bad behavior of one person.
Yeah.
And that we definitely thank all of our law enforcement officials and professionals for being willing to go towards danger.
Yeah.
Because that takes a special person, you know, I said, again, because, you know, I'm coming out of as a military spouse, that it is not normal for people to be willing to run towards the danger.
Yeah. They had an incident at the mall a few weeks ago, and mm-hmm. it was LPD. From what I've heard, well, mall security handled it amazingly. Mm-hmm. And LPD's response was just textbook. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of Facebook videos where those officers were being taunted on video, called names, and they held their professionalism.
Good.
So the tactical response was dialed in by LPD, and then the composure holding that scene together, because it could have gone bad really easily. We've seen that go bad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kudos to them, because it's not easy to sit there and have people say horrible things to you on video trying to get you to respond. And those officers didn't do it. So, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, we have a great chief. We have a great department here. I mean, I get to see a lot of our police, fire, sheriff's department people on a regular basis, and they're wonderful.
Yeah.
I've gotten to go out, got to do a ride along with our police and our sheriff's department. Man, that teaches you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to sign up for one with our fire department, go out on our medic unit ride along. And,
wow.
And I know that's going to be those. And that just gives you a snippet. I mean, I know that doesn't make you professional by any means, but it just, the little piece of it changes.
Yeah, it gives you an idea.
Oh, my goodness.
People think, well, there's not a lot of crime in this area. Download the police scanner to your phone and listen. Mm-hmm. This area, and I'm not just talking about Lynchburg, but this area, any city comes alive when the sun goes down. It's amazing.
Right. Well,
people don't hear about that.
And any situation can turn on a dime.
Yes.
And that's the thing is, you know, yes. when there's mental illness, drugs and alcohol involved.
Yeah.
Anything can happen just, you know, I mean,
yeah.
just quickly.
Yeah.
And when people get scared or whatever the case is, or it changes. And so that's the thing is, you know, you could be on a ride along and it can seem like it's going to be harmless. And then you realize with our officers, you have to make a decision in a split second.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be so judgy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of what they would do.
Oh, it's there's so many University of Facebook students out there,
yes.
or they've gone to the police academy that Facebook has put on. It's
yes.
just amazing.
Or they watch body cam. They're like, oh, they should have done this. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
You go
right.
try to do that. Or let me do that to you. You be the officer and let me do that to you and let's see how you react.
Right.
I'm glad you're doing ride-alongs because that is such an eye-opener. It really is.
It's when you see the reaction time, do you realize if you watch the body cam footage that happened in 4 seconds?
Yeah.
4 seconds.
Right.
Count 4 seconds. And,
right.
And now you tell me that.
And you can
you would
rewind
have acted differently.
It and watch it again, rewind
yes.
it and watch it again, and then say, here's what I would have done. That officer didn't have a chance to do that, or that mm-hmm. firefighter didn't have a chance
no.
to do that. It's
no.
your things are moving quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah. So,
any other things on the horizon you want to talk about?
No, I mean, the budget will be glad when that, I mean, it, you
yeah.
know, we'll find a way forward. Like I said, I'm just trying to consider all things because,
right.
like I said, everybody has their opinion or their thoughts, and you want to listen to it, and you want to be reasonable. And
yeah.
I want to be responsible with taxpayer dollars. I want to do the right thing, but I want to make sure that we just don't hurt ourselves with the things that are important to the city in delivering the public safety component and,
right.
and hurting ourselves there. So,
and it's the big picture.
It's the big picture.
If we can get public safety dialed in, we've got businesses that are mm-hmm. that are people will go to the areas that may be now a little bit dangerous. Well,
mm-hmm.
we get the public safety dialed in. You know what? I'm going to start going down there. I'm
that's
going to
right.
move my business down there.
That's right.
And that's where we can start lowering taxes because we've got more businesses.
That's right.
More revenue coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we'll get through this in May and then, you know, we'll see. There's every week there's or every 2 weeks, there's always something interesting that pops up at meetings. So you never kind of
yeah.
know what to expect.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying getting to know the community members. I've gotten to do some really cool things. I got to speak at the Blue Ridge Reentry Council Summit last week, which
uh-huh.
is a bunch of organizations that help support previously incarcerated
yeah.
people getting back into...
Don't come back to prison or jail.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Which
it's so important.
So important.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to, you know, be part of those types of things. I'm going to get to speak, actually, at a local... like a Dilwyn correction facility.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'll get to talk to the inmates there. And I mean, anything that I can do just to encourage people
mm-hmm.
and getting to know people in our own community, I think has been really, really great.
Yeah.
That part of mayoring is really,
yeah.
really fun.
Well, a lot of people, that's important. A lot of
yeah.
people don't they want somebody to believe in them.
Yes.
They want somebody to tell them that you don't have to be a criminal or a mm-hmm, thief. Mm-hmm. You can go out and be anything you want. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, it's...
Yeah. Giving hope to people. That's my fun place is just encouraging others mm-hmm. and getting to see the kids. I've gotten to go to a couple of schools and talk to them and making sure that they all feel like, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? And just talk. So that's been really fun.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, all of it's been fun. I'm just learning a ton.
Right.
So we have a great city with so many great people that have good hearts, a lot of people that are serving and so willing to be generous with their time and their money. And so that's been really, really, really great the first 2 months in that sense. Yeah.
We've got a good spring and summer coming up, lots of activities mm-hmm. at Riverfront Park.
Yeah.
I love going down there and all the events that Parks and Recreation puts on.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about. We get some really nice weather and you can go out and enjoy things.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing, I don't envy you for having to do that budget. I just don't want anything to do with it. I'm not a numbers guy anyway, but never have been. But
it's a large binder with lots of tiny numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and a lot of shifting this and this. And you take from one and put back another and somebody's mad. And it's so hard to please people. But you got to do what's right, you know. Mm-hmm. And you guys will.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yep. All right, Stephanie Reed, do you have a contact? If anybody wants to contact you for questions, or what's the easiest way, if it's a Lynchburg resident and they want to get a hold of you, what's the easiest way to get a hold of you?
StephanieForLynchburg@gmail.com is the easiest way to start.
Okay.
Yeah, just start there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, thanks for coming out. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
It's been some really good information. I know the budget is a very hot issue right now, and hopefully we've explained a little bit to some people.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, Stephanie Reed, Mayor of Lynchburg City, Lynchburg, Virginia. Thanks again.
Thank you, Marco. I appreciate it.
Yep. And you've been listening to Active Listening with T4 Tactics. Be safe, everyone. Reduce injuries and save lives. Take care.